kidding. So, amen, amen. Well, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to try and piggyback on what Pastor Brian said today. My thing is about the power today. So he was talking, he was saying not the power, but I'm going to piggyback and talk about the power of God that was available to us at the resurrection. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1, short message, and then we're going to finish it up because God's been so good to us. Ephesians chapter 1, let's go to verse 16. And the title of my message today is, A Lot Can Happen in 3 Days. A whole lot can happen in 3 days. More than you can ever imagine. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, this is Paul talking. And he says this, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, verse 19, he says this, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Underline exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Just stop right there for a few minutes. So it's interesting here that Paul is trying to explain what happened at the resurrection. You see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John never really understood what went on between the 3 days that Jesus died and he rose again. I said this morning, that while they were sitting around mourning his death, Jesus was conquering it. Amen. Amen? And what happened in those 3 days, Paul got a front row view of exactly what took place during those 3 days. And he writes about it in great detail. And he talks about the resurrection Sunday. On that Sunday, he says there is an exceeding greatness of God's power to us who believe. Amen? That's every one of us. That's the entire world. God has an exceeding great power towards us who believe. Say power.
Power.
Now, it's interesting here that God did not just raise Jesus from the dead physically, because it really doesn't take a lot of power to raise somebody from the dead physically. I'll give you an example. How many of you ever heard of an AED device? Right? They have them everywhere now, right? An AED is called an automatic external defibrillator device, right? And so what they do with this thing is if you ever have a heart attack or your heart stops, right, they plug it in, they do a 1.2 gigawatts, they get it up to the whatever they need, and they say clear, pop, right? And when they do that, they bring you back from the dead. If your heart stops and you die, they can bring you back. Now, here's the interesting thing. That thing only has 300 watts, and it blasts for about 0.001 seconds. That's enough energy to light a light bulb for 23 minutes. That's it. So think about it. A light bulb that lasts 23 minutes, there's enough electricity, enough power to get your heart back, to bring you back from the dead. God didn't use light bulb power to raise Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
He used exceeding great power.
Oh, yes. Amen.
I will, man. I'll say it if you give me a beef patty. Or some oxtails.
Yeah.
Yes, now you're talking.
Amen.
Now let me... Fuego time.
Hey!
Hey. So I want you to think about these two Greek words. He uses specific Greek words when he talks about the resurrection. And he says they're exceeding great power. The word exceeding in the Greek literally means to use something that surpasses a previous standard or mark. In other words, he says that exceeding means to go far beyond any record that's ever taken place. Like in Olympics, they have a record, right? The fastest guy has a record. Let's say he does the mile in 4 minutes. Well, the power he used of the word exceeding is to far surpass that. In other words, if it's a 4-minute mile, he did it in 1 minute. He far surpassed, exceedingly far, any record or any standard ever took place. And then he says, it's not just exceeding, it's not far above. He says it's great. The Greek word for great is the word mega. Wow. Anybody hear Megalon? The shark? The fake shark? You saw the movie Meg? Megalon. Yes, Megalon. So with Jason Statham, the Meg? Some, anyway. So the word, it's Megalon, or you may be familiar with Mega Millions. Woo! And if you win, you better tithe. So anyway, hey, say it again. So here's what Paul said. He said the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead was not light bulb power. It was exceedingly far surpassing any other power ever displayed in the mega range. Powerful. In other words, there's never been this display of power in the entire world and never will. So you have to ask yourself, why did he have to use all that power? Well, the reason why, number one, is because there was a lot of resistance to Jesus' resurrection. I'll give you an example. All right, now, I'm going to need some volunteers. So real quick, watch this. So here's the thing. I don't know, what does it weigh? About 5 pounds? Right? So this is, sure, 5 pounds. All right, so I can lift this with one hand. Not much resistance, right? I don't need a lot of power to raise this up. Lewis, would you help me? Or anybody? All right. Now, Lewis, you pull on this. Not too hard. Don't make me look stupid. Okay? So I can't pull it from him. I've got to use more power, right? I need you now. No? You? Yep, got it. Yeah, see him. Now you hold it. Okay? Now, 2 hands. Now make me look, no, don't make me look too stupid. Ready? Now watch this. So now I'm really pulling hard, right? I have to use a lot more power, you know, make believe this is Jesus. That's hell. I'm using a lot. I'm sorry. He's going to make me fall. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken. So listen, watch. I'm going to have to exert a lot more power to get this back from hell. In other words, okay, that's good. Thank you very much. I had a good leg workout. In other words, there was so much resistance, the devil, every demon, every sickness, every curse, every sin was holding Jesus down and didn't want him to get up. So God had to give much more power to get him up. Think about that. The increase in resistance means the increase in power. So God said, nah, my son is not staying there. I'm raising him up. Now, here's the big deal about it. It wasn't just Jesus being raised from the dead, but it was everything that he represented. God had to break every chain, every curse, every sickness, every disease, every addiction, every COVID incident, every deformity, every depression, every sin. God had to break everything in that one instance. In those 3 days, God was working on every single person that ever existed, all the way back to Adam. He had to redo, God had to turn around everything that Adam did and everybody after him and anybody to come. So God had to bust out enough power that transcended time, transcended the universe, transcended death and hell. That's a lot of power. That's a whole lot of power. That's exceeding great power. And the Greek word for power is dynamite. In other words, he exploded. It wasn't an H-bomb, atom bomb. No, God used everything he had in his arsenal to blow up hell, to annihilate everything that Satan had done to humanity. This is not just an Easter Sunday. This is the day God changed everything in a moment of time, in a split second. In those 3 days, God changed everything. Everything. Woo! Hallelujah! That's why we can stand and say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? This body expires, I'm going to heaven because you got nothing on me, Satan. Nothing, and any disease, I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name. Any addiction, I break your chain in Jesus' name. Power. Romans 1:16 says what? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Same dynamite word. In other words, every time you share the gospel, the power of the resurrection hits that person. In other words, the same power that was in the resurrection is in the message. Oh, man. So when the devil comes and tell you you're no good, you're guilty, you're condemned, you're never going to heaven, say, wait a minute, Mr. Devil, back up. Do an Anissa. Back up, kid. Back up. The power of God lives in my body. The resurrection power of God went to work for me. And there ain't no way you're letting me walk. I'm not walking around condemned in shame and in guilt anymore. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in our mortal bodies. The same exact power. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, think about this. Go back here. It says this. It says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I mean, he's just like power, 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 power. Which he worked in Christ. Notice he says he worked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So let me say this, and Brian said it very nicely. God was not working on Christ. He was working in Christ so he can work on us. Amen. What he did in Christ, he did for us. I will say it again. Jesus, listen, Jesus was not in hell for 3 days doing Pilates or Tai Bo. He was not taking a vacation. He was undoing. God was doing something in him because he was doing it on us and for us. I'll give you an example because we needed it. Let me give you an example. So if you ever sat in Ariana's seat, right, when she's got to do makeup, she could take the most ugliest girl in the world, but after she works on her, she's beautiful. Right, Ariana? Do you have your business card? You can pass it around. So in other words, when you put in the hands of the master and you let the master work on you for a little bit, they can make you what you ain't. A little plaster and paint on your face will make you what you ain't. Praise the Lord. So what God did was he worked in Jesus because he was really working on us. What do you say? God, just finish. Go ahead and work on me. Finish the job. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. I'll work out my salvation with fear and trembling because the master is working on me, changing me, fixing me, restoring me, rejuvenating me, refire, refuego in me. Woo! Hey! Praise the Lord. This is a very special day. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews 9 for a second. Hebrews 9. Am I almost finished? Yes, I'm getting close. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Watch this. Pastor Brian said this as well. I'm not stealing his sermon because I think he's stolen mine. Hebrews 9.
I didn't do it.
Verse 12. Ready? He says, not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the holy place once. Say once.
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 He did it once and for all. Why did he do it once? Because he did such a good job. No one ever has to do it again. He did the job so good, so complete, that when he got to heaven, he just sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he said, it is finished. Woo! So listen, whenever you have a problem, you don't say, God, can you do this for me? Can you do that? He says, no, why? I already did it. Well, I need more power. I need to break this. No, I already gave enough power. And what you need to do is understand the power that was released in the resurrection. The more revelation you have, the more you can release the power in your life. That's why he said in Ephesians 1:17, I pray that you would have a spirit of wisdom and understanding and a revelation. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let me know more of this resurrection power that's available to me, because it'll make me live differently. Amen? Now watch this. He says this. He says, most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You know what redemption means, right? How many of you take the bottles back and get 5 cents? No, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't mean to embarrass anybody. Recycling is good for the environment. Take your bottles back, get your measly 5 cents.
That's right. Amen. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Yes, hallelujah. Now listen, the word redemption means to buy back, right? So you give them the bottle, they give you 5 cents, they buy it back. Let me give you another meaning for it. It means to set free from captivity by a payment. Set free from captivity by a payment. And it says he obtained that redemption by his blood. So listen, so those 3 days, there's a lot going on in those 3 days. What was he doing? He's getting his blood ready because he needed to give it to heaven. In exchange, God gave us redemption. In other words, he bought us back from sin and death and hell and sickness and disease and poverty and lack, depression and everything else that you can think of. Anything that is destructive in this world, Jesus bought us back from it with his precious blood. And he did it once. Now, I told you this, I think, last week, right? When the devil comes and messes with you, he messes with your mind, he puts a guilt trip on you, he tells you how you're no good, no, you've got nobody loves you, your parents hate you. You sit him down and say, devil, I want to tell you a bedtime story. And then say, once upon a time, Jesus entered into heaven and bought me back. Amen? Give him a nice little bedtime story, a little nursery rhyme for the devil when he starts messing with you. Now, let me finish up here. How many of you, let's see, how many of you know that the Red Sea, right? Who, God split the Red Sea, right? Was that the only sea he ever split?
No.
No, he did it another time.
Yes.
Joshua chapter 3, let's finish this up. Joshua chapter 3. Now, we know that everything in the Old Testament represents something in the New, correct? Everything in the Old points to a work that Jesus was going to do. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, everything is an example for us. It's a type and a shadow, and it's for our admonition. It's for our instruction. It's to teach us something. So look at Joshua chapter 3, and we'll finish up here. Joshua chapter 3. The Jews and the Israelites, they were at the River Jordan, and they were about to enter the Promised Land, and they needed to cross the river. And so Joshua sits and gets the plan of God. He asks God, what are we to do? And God paints a wonderful picture of our redemption. He says this, he says, take the priests and let them dip their foot into the water first. No one else, they have to go first. Jesus was our high priest, and he stepped foot into heaven first. Now watch what happens here. Verse 10, Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. You ready?
Yeah.
Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
Say, I'm ready, man.
Ready,
man. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the termites. No, there's no termites, brother. They were not in the Old Testament. The termites started in the New Testament. In verse 11, he says, behold, listen, these are all representatives of the enemies of man. Okay, they were enemies of God's people. So you could put sickness there. You could put depression, disease, addiction, poverty, lack. You put anything in there. And he says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark, in other words, who carry the glory, he says, of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. In other words, they'll go all the way back and stand upright. Okay, so right from where they're at, he said, right from where you're at, the moment they step foot in, the waters will go all the way back up. So in other words, the waters were coming down from there. Something happens up there that affects what happens down here. Right? So way back when, something happened that affected the present. And he says, what you do at this moment is going to back up and affect everything that's affecting you. Ready? So watch, he says in verse 4, so it was when the people set out from the camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped on the edge of the water, the Jordan flows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest. Verse 16, are you strapped in? He says that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away to Adam. Is that right? The city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters went down into the sea, the salt sea failed and were cut off. Interesting how there's a town called Adam, and all the waters, the moment they stepped in, all the waters, everything that was coming down from Adam that was affecting them, backed up all the way to Adam. He was saying, when the high priest shows up and he steps foot into the promised land, everything that's been affecting you from Adam, I will back it up all the way back to Adam. He says, every curse that has been on your family, every disease that's been inherited by you, he says, every alcoholism that's a plague in your family, or whatever it is, he says, I'm going to touch it and make it go all the way back, and it's going to stand upright as a heap, and it will never affect you again. That's what happened in the resurrection. The power of God changed everything all the way back to Adam. Original sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen, you're probably saying this morning, well, how does that affect me? How can I apply that in my life? And it's very simple. Because Paul says this, he prayed that you would understand this. He says he prays that your eyes would be opened, that you would know what is the hope of your calling, that you knew what was the inheritance that you have in Christ, that when he raised him from the dead, he worked in him, but on us. And then in chapter 2, it says that that same power that raised Christ raised us, made us alive, and made us sit with him in heavenly places. So from this point on, you need to see yourself sitting in heavenly places with Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm raised with Christ. I've been made alive with Christ. He represented me, bought my redemption, and it's not longer I that live, but He that lives in me. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's available to every one of us. That's what Easter is about. Not a chicken or an egg or a bunny. Jesus changes lives. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Lord. Brother Bishop, would you mind coming up?